got a minute to talk? It's like, sure, I'll talk with you, Dolly. She's like, what are you doing on July 20th? Oh, I don't know. She's like, you're giving the message. Oh, I am. Okay. So thank you, Dolly. Yeah, thanks. So before I start the sermon, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for being with us today. I know I'm your servant. Please help me to say your words and get them out so that they are understandable. And give me the peace that I know that you're here with us and that things will go smoothly. In your name I pray. Amen. So this was like a team effort today on the sermon. I get to present it, but thanks to Kelly, she helped me write it. So it's a team effort on between the two of us. But I tried to get her to come up here this morning, but she wouldn't do it. I wonder why. No. Maybe one note at a time. Okay, let's start. It's a letter to the San Marinans Church. A few months ago, I gave the youth of the church and the members of the church an assignment. I asked everyone to imagine what Jesus would say in a letter to the San Marinites. What would he have said to us and about our little church and congregation and people living in turbulent cultures and times? Would he commend us as he did in the letters to the church of the Philippines? Revelations 3:8 saying, I know your deeds. I see I have a place before you, an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have a little strength, yet you kept my word and have not denied my name. And Revelations 3:10, since you have kept my commandments to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on this earth. Or would he condemn us as he did in the letter to the churches of Sardis? Revelation 3:1-3 says, I know your deeds. You have reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen that remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what time I will come. These two sections, I feel that God knows our church very well, and he knows all the churches very well. We had several people respond with their thoughts about our blossoming little church. Almost all the responses commended us on how welcoming our church is to whoever enters in. More than one response remarked on our efforts to praise and worship God together and to shine a light in the communities and to that border the world. More than one person noted that we aim to be a body of Christ in caring for our church family, the poor, the bordering communities, and those in need around the world. And one respondent noted how we would that we all appreciate the importance of sharing God's truth directly from his word in his Holy Bible in our own personal testimonies with each other. But is this enough, I ask? Do we take the extra steps to invite a newcomer to sit with us, to come down to the vestry for fellowship, or come to Bible study? Do we give all our praises to God, even in the hard times, or when we are distracted by worldly things? Do we make time to take care of the church member who is ill, or give loving to a homeless person in need? Pastor Sean teaches and preaches from God's word, helping us understand and make connections, helping us to make connections from the New Testament all the way to the Old. But we do personally study the Bible such that we know it is good enough to shine a light of truth in the manner of Jesus in the world today. We are brave enough to share our faith, our testimonies, with a world that does not want to live under God's commands. I can imagine that Jesus might start with a kindly, encouraging tone, as he did to the churches in Tithon. The angel of the church in Samaritan writes in Revelations 2:18 through 19, "These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, and your service and presence, and that you are now doing more than you did at first." So, I said three phrases so far that have been in this thing that I kind of think is interesting. God says, "I know your deeds." So he knows all about us. So that's the third time that he said this through this sermon, that he knows our deeds. I know you have a love for the world, and that your pastor I know you have a love for the word that your pastor gives. You always try to seek his truth. Proverbs 30:5-6. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. In Psalms 25:5, it says, "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day." And lastly, Psalms 119:60 says, "Your words are true, your righteousness laws eternal." I think this is something that's very important in this next phrase. Take care. Do not alter, delete, water down, overemphasize, or modify my word, but share it always in good faith, in a bold, respectful, and loving manner. Ephesians 4:14-15. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and thrown here and there by every wind of the preaching, by the crooning and craftiness of people in their disrespect. Instead, preaching the truth in love, we will be all these things. Grow into him who is the head, the Christ. I urge you to study and take heart my Father's words on your own. How else will you come to know me? Learn to fight spiritual battles or recognize false teachings. Psalms 119, 9 through 16. How can those who are young keep their pure, keep way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you in all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise to you. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your presence and concentrate on your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For those who live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to diminish strongholds. We diminish arguments in every way that sets itself against us, the knowledge of God, and we take captive in every thought to make it obedient to God. I see also that you worshiping and praise me with great enthusiasm. Psalms 139, 14. I press you because I am wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that's full. Psalms 96:4. For great is the Lord and the most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Psalms 95:1-3. Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and exalt him with music and song. For the Lord is great, the great King above all gods. Please take that discouragement over the trapping of worship does not distract you from the genuine praise offered by God, lest it causes diversion among you. Ephesians 4:2-3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient with one another. I think the kids can hear this. Make sure you're patient with one another. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Praise and worship need not end the conclusion of praise and worship need not to conclude at the end of Sunday service, but we should spill it out throughout our hearts throughout the whole week, even in the times of trouble. Psalms 34:1-3. I will exalt the Lord at all times. His praises will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the affective heart rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Your warmth and welcome to all who seek. God into the church family is a credit to the love you have for your neighbors. As I said to the Pharisees, when they saw me eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, Mark 2:17, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call the sinners. Do not limit your kindness to my serenity, but extend your hospitality to visitors or new members to join in the fellowship, into Bible study, and even small groups, such that there is no doubt of the sincerity inherited in the family of God. Hebrews 13:1-2. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing. Your zeal for your mission work has not gone unnoticed, but it does extend to the hungry, the stranger, the homeless, or the prisoner. I said in Matthew 25:34, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. The righteous will ask, when did we see you? And his reply in Matthew 25:40, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of the brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Your congregation indeed shines my light to your church family and your boarding communities. Matthew 5:16. Let the light shine before men, that they may see God's work and glorify your Father in heaven. Now I command you to beam your light even further. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I give you my great commission. Matthew 28:18-20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the earth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this letter to us. May we reflect on this letter through the week, like you said, our light should not stop on Sunday morning. We should go through the week and let our light shine so that men may wonder, hey, what's going on with him or her? I want to know more. I want to be like them. Be with us and let your Holy Spirit work through us. And we thank you for teaching us all of these things. In your name I pray. Amen.